Last week we talked about the Christian life is a race. Some of you were here. We talked about how sometimes as you run in your race, you might be on the mountaintop experience, but sometimes you might be in the valley, like Jessica was describing to us today. You know, sometimes in our own lives, we show progress as believers in Jesus. We're doing well. But other times, when we hit the bottom, when we don't know what's going to come next, we tend to be fearful. We panic. Sometimes we feel as though we're not moving forward in believing in Jesus, but we're backtracking. We're moving backward. Now, I know, it is easier to believe in God when everything goes well in your life. I mean, that's a goal. When everything is perfect in your life, when you got a job, you got everything, it's so easy to have faith. I mean, it's so easy to have faith when we come to church on Sunday morning. But it might not be easy when you got to go to work and deal with people that might not believe or have the same values as you do. It's not easy to have faith when you don't know what's going to happen next. When you pray and it seems that God's not answering you. It's not easy to believe, is it? And I think it's safe to say that the majority of us, at one time or another, we have struggled with this idea of doubting God's provision even. I mean, Jessica was a testimony this morning. Thank you again for sharing. We have, all of us at one point or another, we pray and we still doubt, like, God, what are you doing? Like, God, I'm clueless. I have no idea where I'm going from here. And what are you doing? Like, I pray that. I have gotten angry at God one time because I didn't see healing in somebody that I really want that person to get healed. And we all go through those, what I call valley moments in life. We get mountaintop experience. And I define that as when you go to a conference, you go to a place, you get encouraged. You are in God's word. And you get so excited and just like, wow, I'm walking with the Lord today. Man, I'm on a high. And it's not drugs. It's just, I'm on a high because I'm walking with the Lord. That's a mountaintop experience. But then, next day, you might feel yourself in a valley, like clueless. And it's like, what's going on? It's almost like a roller coaster type of thing we go through in this life. We all been there. And if you have not, you will. We all have wrestled with doubts or unbelief. Now, the question is, how can we overcome those doubts? How can we overcome unbelief, distrust in our own life? See, Jesus, in the gospel, you read that he takes Peter, James, and John to a mountain. Just those three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he takes them to a mountain, and Jesus wanted to show them something that he has not shown anybody on earth. And it's amazing because when you read the story, it's called the Transfiguration. The word there is like Jesus is going to transform or become something that the disciples had never seen before. Jesus is going to become like what they had seen in visions, like John, the Revelation writing saw. And it's like amazing. Peter, James, and John are about to have a huge mountaintop experience because as Jesus takes them to the mountain, there, a smoke covers the mountain, Jesus is there, and Moses and Elijah appear. And it's amazing because Peter and John and James, they're without words. And at one point, Peter said to Jesus, you know, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three shelters. Peter did not even want to go home that day. That was the greatest worship service he ever had. You being there to those places, like you feel like, this is amazing. I don't want to go home. And Peter just told Jesus, let us build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. You know, later on, it says that the cloud covered them, and there was a voice that said, Moses and Elijah were gone, and the voice said, this is my beloved son. Hear him only. Now, on the way down, Jesus told Peter, James, and John, do not tell anybody what you guys just saw. Until I have resurrected from the grave. So isn't that amazing? Jesus said, don't tell anybody what you saw until after the resurrection. And they did. I mean, later on, when Peter writes a letter, he writes about that experience, mountaintop experience. I mean, we all been there. Like, when we go to a retreat, you go home, it's like, wow, man, I'm on fire for the Lord. Now, they come down from the mountain, Matthew and the other disciples, they're down there, arguing with the religious leaders. You see, it's a mountaintop experience with three of the apostles. The other ones are in the valley. And this is what's going on in the valley in Mark chapter 9. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. Did you got your Bibles with you? Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through following. It says, when they came to the other disciples, this day here is Jesus, Peter, James, and John. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Now Jesus asked, what are you arguing about? A man, verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whether he seizes him, he throws him into the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And then Jesus said, oh, unbelieving generation. Some translation would say, oh, faithless generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me, he said. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, he immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Now, just look at that picture here. So perhaps you never heard that story, but it's almost looks like one of those Hollywood exorcists. I mean, like, what's going on here now? So immediately when the spirit saw Jesus, he threw the boy into a convulsion and he fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has it been like this? From childhood, he answered. He has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Let's leave it there for now. Remember, I'm just describing to you the transfiguration. Great moment for Peter, James, and John. But the other apostles, nine of the apostles, are arguing with the religious leaders. And Jesus later on asked them, what are you guys arguing about? They came from the mountain to the valley, and this is what's going on in the valley. And you know, Matthew and the other apostles did not get to see Jesus transfigure. Only Peter, James, and John. Crowds gather around Jesus, and you see as he's coming here to Jesus and Peter, James, and John. They're coming down to regroup with the other apostles. More people are coming to see Jesus, and he says that as soon as people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. Now, there was a man in that crowd that had a son that was being tormented by a demon. A demon is an evil spirit. I know some of you, perhaps here, you might not believe in that. I got news for you. It's in the Bible, and all you got to do, you don't believe, just go to Haiti sometime, or Africa, so that you can see their power display. I mean, the only view you have about that is Hollywood, which is not very good. But I guarantee you, like, you know, people don't believe that. I mean, the Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities. People, I mean, in the dark forces of this evil world. I mean, they might be here today listening or trying to keep you from listening. I mean, the evil. So this father comes to Jesus out of desperation. You know, he says, you know, I brought my son to the disciples. He's been tormented by this evil spirit. And he says that he was foaming at the mouth and gnashing his teeth. He said, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cast him out. Now the question is, why couldn't the apostles, and Jesus already gave him authority to cast out demons, why couldn't they cast this one out? And so the answer to that is later on in this text, we're going to see it, but the apostles, those ones right there, his father came out of desperation, my son is struggling, please do something. They could not cast out the evil spirit. And Jesus reprimanded the apostles right here. Jesus wasn't very happy with them. What he says. Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I have to tolerate you? How long will I have to put up with you? He said, Jesus wasn't happy. You know, one thing you learn about Jesus very soon when you read the four gospels, he always applauded people's faith. When people had lack of faith, remember when Peter was sinking, he said, why do you doubt? It's like, always like, wow, your faith is great. When your faith wasn't that great, he was like, what are you doing? You people of little faith, he said in Matthew 6. And so here he's reprimanding. Remember when we talked about discipline? He disciplined those he loved. And he's like, you unbelieving generation, he says. How long will I have to be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me, he said. Now, later on, he asked the father of the boy, how long has this boy been in this condition? Now, it's interesting because didn't Jesus know?
Yes.
Now, sometimes he asks questions because he expects you to answer right there. But if he knew everything, he knew really. But the father said, he's been since childhood. All the translation would say, ever since he was a boy, a young boy, he's been like this. Now, you see the desperation of this father. You have a problem with a child. You will go everywhere trying to find a solution to the problem. He brought him to the apostles, but nothing happened. And finally, Jesus came down from the mountain. He said, Lord, I brought my son. He's been tormented by an evil spirit. I brought him to the apostles, the disciples. They could not cast out the demons. And Jesus is like, wow, kind of disappointed, you guys. Yeah. And then he said, bring the boy to me. And then he asked, how long? He's like, oh, ever since he was a childhood. And I love the interaction with the father, between the father and Jesus, because I think we can learn something about it, about ourselves, when we look at this father. Check out what happened. I just want to go back to that verse again. He says, from childhood, verse 21, he answered, he has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. I mean, the evil spirit just wants to kill my boy. Here it is. But if you can do something, take pity on us and help us. Jesus, but if you can. Now, how often has that been our prayer? Sometimes we go through in this life and we kind of like die already and we go to Jesus, Lord, this is happening, but if you can help me, have pity on me and help me. Jesus, look at Jesus' response. He said, like, if you can? I mean, right, like, so Jesus quoting him, like, if you can? I mean, that's how you come to me. Jesus, if you can do something just out of desperation, man, I need you. If you can, I want to suggest to you, that's the prayer of somebody that doesn't really know Jesus. That's the prayer of somebody who really struggled with believing, really trusting God. Lord, if you can, I mean, the question would be, Lord, I know you can, but he said, Lord, if you can. Now, this father had never, perhaps he heard about Jesus and he knew Jesus had a solution for that. But even though he knew, he wasn't like the four men that brought the paralytic, that they just went over there because they say, if we get that man into Jesus, he'd be healed. That's faith. This man comes to Jesus, Lord, I brought your son to your disciples. They could not cast out the demons. Lord, if you can, please have mercy on us. Please help me. I think sometimes we can relate to that because whatever we go through in this life, we relate to the Father. We ask Jesus in prayer like this, Lord, if you can. That's doubtful. You're not truly believing that he can. So many times, like I said, we go through trials. And I think that's our request. But if you can do something, Lord, but if you can, I mean, it's almost like talking about learning how to pray. You knew he did not know how to even ask. I mean, thank God that Jesus is listening to this man, because I think if we are his followers and we're going to come to him into the throne room in prayer and we're going to ask like that, he's going to listen to us. He's just going to say, you unbelieving generation, you don't get it yet. Lord, if you can, help me, have mercy on me. And I love Jesus' response. If I can, and then he said, everything is possible for he who believes. I mean, obviously the man did not even know who he was talking to. If you can, I mean, Jesus said, hey, if you can, everything is possible for he who believes. Anybody who believes, all you need to do is believing. Everything is possible if you believe. That's what Gabriel told Mary. When he announced the birth of Jesus, Mary said, well, I don't know, how's that possible? And they said, everything is possible with God, he said. Now, the boy father, I love his response here too, because he said, and I think we can relate to this response also. Look at what he says. Verse 24. Immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I love the ESV because the ESV translates it like this. I do believe, help my unbelief. Now, I looked it up because I thought for a moment unbelief is a synonym of doubt. They're not the same. Unbelief is more you got distrust. And you can type unbelief in the dictionary, and it will never gonna give you the word doubt. Doubt is a little different. And in the Greek, it's different. When Jesus told Peter, why do you doubt? The word there is different than the word here for unbelief. Unbelief is like faithless. But you claim to believe, but there's no faith there. Or you might have a way of a belief, like he said, I do believe, but help my faithlessness. Hey, help me to believe more, in a sense. He says, help my distrust, because, you know, sometimes that's really our attitude. We approach God, and we ask him, but we're not even believing. What does James say? You ask, but you do not receive, because you're already doubting. He used the word doubting in that case. Or you ask, and you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives. Lord, I think we all can relate to that. I do believe, but this thing is huge. This problem that I have is huge. I do believe you can, but like, help me, help my unbelief, help my distrust that I have, help my faithlessness that right now is going through my system. Lord, I believe, but help me to believe more. So perhaps this is where you and I are. We struggle in our own faith. We struggle believing in God more. We struggle trusting the Lord, taking Him at His word. Not like, you know, we have the money in God we trust, but that's, you know, how it is. But we claim to trust in the Lord, but sometimes I think when we go through the trials, when we are at the valley, we wrestle. We believe in really in Him, to letting Him take over. Yes, the situation with the dad, he knows that boy's been like that ever since childhood. This is a huge problem. The disciples, he probably thought the disciples were going to do it. They couldn't do it. Jesus, please, if you can. And that's what Jesus didn't like. If you can, do something. Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible for he who believes. And he says, I believe, but help my own belief. I believe, but help me to believe more, Lord. And then Jesus, he did exactly what his father wanted. Look at what happened. When Jesus saw now the crowds are gathering because they see Jesus talking to this man. When Jesus saw the crowd who was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. And then he said, you deaf and mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Jesus Christ always been the torment of the demons. The demons, they were the only ones who knew who Jesus truly was, because when they saw Jesus, it's like, Jesus, what you doing here, man? Is it time yet? Yeah, they were kind of like, and sometimes Jesus would tell him not to speak, because otherwise they would tell everybody else who it truly was. And at an early stage in Jesus' ministry, he did not want people to know who he was. I mean, look at here, the transfiguration. He told Peter, James, and John, don't tell anybody what you saw until after the resurrection. So Peter, James, and John came, and the scene is just, you know, now this father talking to Jesus, the crowd gathered here. Jesus rebuked. He cast out that spirit, that demon, and told him to never enter. There's the idea that sometimes they come back. But Jesus already told him, you're never going to enter here again. Now, the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse. And many said, he's dead. Now, you see the scene, like the evil spirit left, and the boy just like, it's almost like when in the Matrix, when they unplug the thing, and you're just like, ooh, you fall. And everybody's, oh, he's dead. Then Jesus, he takes him by the hand, lifted him up to the feet, and he stood up. Now, I love this. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples now come. They have a question for Jesus. The disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive that demon out? I mean, especially after you empower us to drive demons, I mean, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, this guy can come out only by prayer. If you have the King James Version and other version, only a few, because they have a different manuscripts, it will say, this guy only comes out through prayer and fasting. By that time, the disciples didn't pray much because Jesus is already with them. Why would you pray when Jesus is with them? This guy, which tells us already, church, there's so many kinds of demons that you and I have no idea. And demonic, just like the angel world, they have hierarchy. I think that the disciple just encountered one that was a lieutenant. It wasn't just like a sergeant demon or something. It was like, this demon, you need prayer and fasting. You need prayer. You need to really know how to pray to be able to come back then, to be able to cast him out. And that's why you disciples couldn't get him out. Because, I mean, it was later on that I taught you how to pray, when they say, hey, teach us how to pray. Now we got this demon here that It doesn't matter what you say, he's not going to come out. Because this guy, Jesus said, only comes out with prayer. So it's almost like somebody was mentioning the importance of having that prayer life, because you never know when you're going to encounter somebody like that, and you won't be able to cast them out. So the disciples were curious why they couldn't cast them out. So this guy only comes out through prayer and fasting. Now they left that place, passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were. Where they were. Now, I just want to go back to the interaction with Jesus and the Father. The Father told Jesus, I believe, but help me to believe more. I believe, but help my unbelief, help my distrust that I have, because I struggle with that. Perhaps it's doubt for you. I mean, we all come to a point, based on what we go through, the storms that we go through, that we might even be angry at God, like we heard today. We might even doubt, like, why? You know, we don't even trust him anymore. We might come to that in our own walk with him. And this Father said, I do believe. That's why I came to you. And we know that he did believe. And I said, he brought the boy to Jesus. Hey, you can do something. There's some kind of believing there. Now, he didn't believe wholeheartedly, because he said, you know, help me. Help my unbelief. Now, how can you and I overcome that attitude in our own life? How can you and I overcome unbelief, distrust, faithlessness? How can we have more faith? How can we believe more in what Jesus is telling us? So that we don't have to say, if you can, so we can say, I know you can do it. How can we have more belief in him? I have an answer for you right here. How can you overcome unbelief? I mean, we have to overcome unbelief, because let me tell you what unbelief will do to you. Unbelief can keep you from seeing God's work in your life. God's working in your life. Unbelief can keep you from seeing the power of God displayed in your own life. How do I know that? Jesus goes to Nazareth, to his hometown, to preach, and he says that he did not do any miracles there because of the lack of faith, because they were just unbelieving generation. They just didn't have that much faith, and that's why Jesus did not display his power. You and I, church, when we don't show believing and trusting in God, don't be praying, because he's not going to show you what he could have shown you if you just believe. So unbelief will rob you from seeing God's power displayed in your life. When you don't have faith, it will rob you of that. Unbelief will also steal peace at time of trouble. So when trouble comes, you're running out like a chicken without a head. Like, you don't know what to do, and you panic. Unbelief will do that to you. It will get into your system. It's like, God, what are you doing? Like Jessica was telling us, you know, and then she repented of that. We all been there. That's like, Lord, I just, like, Lord, later on, it's like, forgive me. I didn't get it. I was just like a father. Like, I distrusted you. I didn't trust you enough. So unbelief, sometimes you want that peace that transcends the human understanding. You have to really trust in the Lord. I mean, it says trust in the Lord and lean not in your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. So many in the Psalms, David had to go through that. He went through the valley a lot. I mean, many of the Psalms that he wrote, you think that he was in the office writing them? He was in a cave hiding from somebody who tried to kill him. He was just accused of something. I mean, David lost it one time. If it had not been for this woman, he was going to kill this guy. And later on, he thanked the woman and said, thank you, because, you know, I was pushed. You know, like we all get to that point that you push somebody too hard, and eventually you wonder why you get punched in the face. David, and Joseph was going to kill this guy. So, forget about it. He was going to go. And this woman, Abigail, comes like, listen to me. I know my husband. His name means like fool. Just listen to me. Then David later on said to her, thank you, because of you, God kept me from shedding blood, because I was really going to kill him. I had it with that man. So, and he thanked God. But he was in a valley many times. And later on he writes, the Lord is my shepherd. And even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. Finally, David began to trust God more. And then he writes in the Psalms, trust in the Lord and lean not in your understanding. He's my rock, my refuge. That's trust. That's not like, Lord, if you can. Even though people encounter me, I'm going to be strong, because you are with me, he said. Now, unbelief. Why you and I need to overcome unbelief, distrust in our system? Because of those things that I told you. Otherwise, we never see God's display. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't show up in our lives sometimes. Because we don't trust him that much. We have a lot of unbelief in our system. Now, how can you and I overcome? The remedy for unbelief is this. Hopefully you're listening. You gotta get to know Jesus. It's like, well, that's so simple. Yes, you want to have more trust, more belief in Jesus, you gotta get to know him. Why did the father did not trust Jesus that much? He did not know him that well. That's what Jesus said, like, you come to me and say, if you can, I mean, again, you don't know who you're talking to. How can you and I overcome unbelief? You got to get to know Jesus. This man, like I said, he had trust issues or faithless issues because he did not know Jesus. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you're going to trust him. Remember the story, the disciples are in the boat and they're panicking because they're about to sink and the water, Jesus is sleeping. They wake Jesus up and say, Lord, don't you care that we're about to drown? Jesus kind of gets up and is like, what's going on? Oh, be still. They were like, who is this? Hold on a moment. That question. Don't you know that that's Jesus, the guy you've been hanging out for about 3 years? You don't know him yet? They just saw something different about Jesus. The more you get to know him, the more that you're also going to trust him. So you want to overcome unbelief, doubts in your life? Get to know Jesus better. You want to overcome doubt in your life? You got to get exposure to the Word of God. That's how you and I can get to know Jesus better, through the Word. If we don't read it, we don't study, we don't analyze it, you're never going to get to know Jesus and what he's capable, what he's able to do on our situation. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing. So you want to have more faith, you have to be hearing this thing. And I just like hearing when somebody's preaching, you got to read it yourself. You get exposed to it. Everywhere, anytime you can, get exposed to it so that you can develop that faith. You get to know God better. God already, who he is, he revealed that to us through here. We know what makes him angry. We know what makes him happy. We know when he said, like, you don't believe a generation. It's like, oh, that's what you're doing. So we know what he expects of you and I. We want to get to know him better, then we got to spend some time in the Word. If faith comes from hearing, then, if I use logic, unbelief will come when I stop hearing. If faith comes from hearing the Word of God, what happens when I stop hearing it? Unbelief will be the outcome. Faithless will be the outcome. You want to build your faith? You got to... I mean, this thing will teach you how to worship better, how to pray better effectively, because perhaps you've been praying ineffectively. And people sometimes think, oh, worship is all about worship our music or songs. Who said that? This thing will teach you how to worship that it will be pleasing to God. Remember what Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you worship what you don't know. Because they were worshiping and they had no idea how to worship. There were people in the Old Testament that got in trouble because they thought we can worship God whichever way we want. And they went to the temple and never came out. Because they didn't know how to work. This thing will teach you so that you do it the appropriate way. Communion, Jude was touching on that today. So even when you come to the Lord's table, I mean, there's something that you need to think about before you just like, oh, everybody just take the juice. Let's, yeah. Be careful. Paul said, that's why some of you are weak and some of you even are dead. Because you take this so lightly. How do we know that? There's instructions that we can spend here. Getting to know Jesus better will eradicate unbelief from our system. Getting to know Jesus better, we're going to have more faith, more belief. That even when we hit with a storm, we say, bring it, I'm ready. I mean, I guarantee you the disciples that were that night on the boat, they will go with Jesus anywhere through a hurricane because they realize he can calm the storm. We're not afraid anymore. Fear comes when you don't get to know that person very well. You don't trust him. I mean, you might be fearful letting somebody in your house when you don't trust that person. So the more you trust Jesus, the more that you will believe, the more that you will eradicate unbelief from your system. Get exposed to the Word of God. Now, it is in God's Word that we get to know that God our Father is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. I mean, that's what Paul told the church. He says, and our God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He is able, more than able. Now, the praise team is going to come, but the challenge for you and I is this. The more you know Jesus, the more you will trust him and overcome your doubts, your insecurities, your unbelief, your distrust in this life. So our job as we go and navigate this life is we have to get to know Jesus. And a point in all of us knowing Jesus is that you're going to trust him more. when the storm hits. When you are in the valley, you need that trust. You need a certainty, because the valley will come. And it will test how much you truly believe in Him. So, you want to kill unbelief from your system? No, Jesus. He's the solution for that.